hours of it of Bathrobes Piers broadsides here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hey, I'm revving up, and our first guest is going to be calling in shortly. I'm going to be calling him. Stay with us.
Right. I said downtown when you're brown on a Friday night playing Russian roulette with you, but not with a secondhand Saturday night special. Nah, downtown plays Russian roulette with a brand new SJPD revolver. One bullet for injustice, one bullet for intolerance, and one bullet for the self-hating sellout Latino capulero that will never bust enough Mexicans, harass enough Chicanos, or beat the shit out of enough cholos to feel equal to his Caucasian counterparts. You see, downtown when you're brown, Officer Lopez is hunting down Chicanos like the Terminator, hoping in vain that one day he may be able to wake up and scrub the brown out of downtown, or at the very least, out of his own skin. Downtown! Downtown when you're brown, the muffled sound of injustice is drowned out by the boom, boom, boom of tricked out Impalas and cherried out mini trucks. As the cat calls of the present are heard up and down Santa Clara streets, and beautiful Latinos strut by on 6 deep in midnight blue Buick Rivieras with gold smokes and silver crucifixes hanging from the mirror. In the town when you're brown on a Friday night, all the signs say no cruising zone, but what they really mean is no fucking Mexican zone.
And you're on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hey, Jerry Henry.
Hey.
And for those who are just tuning in, Jerry Henry is a man who has been fighting in court for 4 years for the right to use the public spaces of the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. He's a street minister, and he has actually been to court I don't know how many times, essentially because of hostility from merchants and some sheriff's deputies out there at Rancho Del Mar. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that could be.
Well, I know that you recently went into an appeal process whereby you were found guilty, I guess, of 4 misdemeanor counts out of, what, 7 or 8 or 9 charge, something like that?
Yeah, the 11, something like that.
And these misdemeanors were peculiar misdemeanors. I mean, they weren't things like vandalizing property, destroying property, or assaulting people, or causing any kinds of injuries of that sort. They were more because the businesses didn't like the look of you and the sound of you outside their business, right?
Yeah, it portrayed what the roasting company did, that just looking out their window caused them problems if they had to see me.
And you also, of course, were, along with Richard Quigley, another activist for, I call him an activist for civil rights, I don't think he regards himself that way, but I do. You and he were advising young people about their rights to continue to hang out in spite of the harassment from sheriff's deputies, private security guards, and so forth around Gottschalk's, the Aptos Coffee Roasting Company, and the new sheriff's substation there, right?
Yes, we were trying to inform them of their freedoms and stuff, what's afforded them under the Constitution. Basically, that if you just ran, where do you stop running? And once they put you on the run, if it's just because they don't like you, then you have nowhere to go.
Well, I know that you... You were actually taken to jail a number of times, mainly on complaint from places like Gottschalk's. They got a restraining order against you.
No, it was the roasting company that got through. I
right.
considered them the leaders of the social cleansing in our community.
Right. I mean, good point. I was thinking that more recently, though, when you were arrested, it was because of a complaint from a Gottschalk's customer or a Gottschalk's worker. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a Gottschalk's customer. She said she could... she pulled up. She was from out of town. She could tell by looking at me that I was drunk and homeless and was afraid of me.
Are you a drinker, Jerry?
No, I don't drink.
Now, you're also a disabled person who has a disability wherein if you're in situations of extreme stress, you find you can't sleep afterwards, right?
Yes, and going to what I call brain spin and stuff.
Mm-hmm. This doesn't make you dangerous, but just sort of dysfunctional? Or?
No, it's never made, it doesn't make me dangerous at all. It does make me dysfunctional, so
means like
it
you
makes
can't,
life hard to...
you can't think about what to do next, that sort of thing? Or?
Yeah, it makes life a lot more difficult.
Now, you were arrested, I guess, and eventually held on a $100,000 bail for the crime of trespass with intent to interfere with a business. Is that correct?
Yes, from standing on a sidewalk.
Which, even though it isn't per se a public sidewalk in the sense that the, let's say, the sidewalk outside the shopping center is, yet it is open to the public under the Pruneyard decision, and therefore they need to have some persuasive reason to go after you, and this, of course, as far as I can see, they didn't have. Let me kind of rush forward here, because I know you're off to pick up your friend at the airport, and I'm also waiting for a call from Monterey. You went to court recently to try to overturn these four misdemeanor convictions, which could have you, theoretically in jail for up to, well, were you sentenced under these misdemeanor convictions?
Yes, 3 years stay out of the half of the shopping center.
So, in essence, you've been barred from the place, and you're not like a newcomer who just rolled into town to pitch a tent, right? You've been living in Santa Cruz area, Aptos, since you were born, right?
Yes. Even the manager of Safeway said I'd been, you know, I'd been a business person there 25 years and was a respected customer.
So, I know that there was a decision by the appeals court, which I don't have too much respect for. It was Judge, Danner, Judge Attic, and Judge McAdams, and they kind of met a week and a half ago, and they affirmed three of the four convictions, and they tossed out one. You want to explain?
No. They tossed out two.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that for me. Thank you.
They affirmed two. They're holding me on the 602.1s, which really has no case law. It's a new law.
That's the trespass with intent to interfere with the business.
Well, it's 602.1, yes. It's trespassing with intention to...
Well, what did they throw out, Jerry? I understand that...
They threw out the 415, so disturbing the peace.
So they claimed that you were not, in fact, disturbing the peace.
No.
You were just in an area the business didn't want you to be, and they claimed that their premises include the sidewalk in front of the business.
And that's what the whole thing's going to revolve around, is the word premises or lands. It's... Like, I'd just gotten a cup of coffee from the roasting company. I wasn't boycotting them or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as though if any one business doesn't want you in their shopping center, they think they have the right to throw you out.
It's kind of like what's happening downtown with Alibaba's Cafe and the Sushi Now. And it's kind of like what happened to me at the farmer's market when I was actually, you know, arrested on the same charge you were down at, you know, the farmer's market 6 or 8 months ago when I was petitioning, and the manager there, Janet Blazer, wanted to have me removed because she just didn't like what I was doing, claimed that she represented the businesses, and therefore, you know, even though it was open to the public and it was leased and it was a First Amendment activity, she could just proceed with impunity. And apparently the same thing has effectively been done with you. Now, you went to trial, but without a jury. You accepted a judge.
No, I had a jury.
Oh, you did have a jury?
Yeah.
I thought you went, I'm a little bit confused about this case. I apologize to the listeners. I guess I review it more carefully before I come on the air. So you had a jury who found you guilty on four of the 11 counts, is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow, okay.
It was 11 or more counts. It all depends on how you want to count them. One of them was a public nuisance charge where they wanted to criminalize 2.5 years of my life.
And you actually have a transcript lasting, what, some 700 more pages? Or?
Oh, I think it's, 12, 1400.
I expect to see a copy of that transcript, Jerry. You've been promising that I could take a peek at that now.
Yeah.
We're talking with Jerry Henry on the phone, and you actually got half the charges dropped by the appeals court, which I think is quite impressive, considering the appeals court was made up of colleagues of the judge Judge Kelsey, who heard the case, wasn't too impressed with the evidence either. He just sort of had to follow the verdict of the jury, right?
I think he had always contended that it was a case that was going to need to be ruled on by the higher courts.
I mean, you've actually, I got some quotes of you that you indicated to him he was very impatient with the prosecution and wondered why this wasn't being pursued as a civil rather than a criminal matter. If they really want to get rid of you, let them prove that you are really causing injury or damage on a civil basis, right?
Yes, that was his strong contention all the way through the case.
So you are currently...
It's a real danger if they go to privatizing the sidewalks. I mean, where does it stop?
Well, I think that's the reason a lot of us are, you know, expressing our concerns the way we are down at what's called Yuppie Planter now, and that, you know, I'll be down there probably today at 2 o'clock, again, doing some flyering and trying to get people to sign petitions both around the issues there and also around the sleeping ban, since the armory is closing shortly. Jerry, anything more you want to say? I'm going to let you go. I want to talk to you more about this, but I've got, as I said, another call.
Well, I think it's just a real dangerous thing, them privatizing the sidewalks, that when are they going to... If my case stands, when are they just going to lease all the sidewalks to the businesses and say, oh, well, you can't be in town?
Particularly ominous in Santa Cruz, because I understand in practice the sidewalks actually are owned by the businesses, in the sense that they have to pay for their upkeep, and they also have to take liability for damages that happen on them, though there is a public access to them. Jerry, when is your next court date? When are we going to know what happens at the higher court?
Within 45 days, the local court's going to have to either decide to retry me on the 415 charges or let them...
And how about the other two charges?
It goes up to the Sixth Circuit for certification, and we'll know more when that process happens.
Well, you keep us advised, and if anybody wants any information on this case, leave a message at 423-HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and I'll pass that on to you, Jerry.
Well, I really wish you luck on keeping the sidewalks free for all humans.
Hey, thank you, and thank you for your struggle down there, Jerry.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Jerry Henry, who, as I said, is free, but not free to go back to the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. I have something I wrote about that issue, oh gosh, 3 years ago, which I never published. I do a thing called the Street Shit Sheet, which I occasionally get out. I think I got out 3 issues last year. Who knows, maybe I'll get something out this year. And I also write regularly for another publication called Street Spirit, which is a larger, more conventional monthly newspaper thing sold by homeless people on the streets. You can sometimes find it in downtown Santa Cruz, though the distribution network has gotten a little tattered lately. If anybody really wants a copy of either of these publications, you can leave a voicemail message at the Huff voicemail, 423-4833, 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F. I'm going to read a little something while I'm waiting for this phone call from, I'm hoping to get a call from Mel Mason in Seaside. Mel is an activist concerned with violence by the police, unchecked by citizen or community input. And he was here yesterday in a protest to free all political prisoners that began at the town clock at 11:30 and marched up to the mall to Yuppie Planter and then over to Happy Corner, as I call it, a block away, where Happy John Dine, the homeless rights activist and disabled man, was shot dead by Santa Cruz police officer Connor Carey on November 12, 1997. And there was Mel spoke about police abuse and police violence. He's a former Black Panther, and he's also a former Seaside City Council member. I may be wrong about the Black Panther, but he certainly has some close friendships among that group of African Americans and others who formed self-defense groups fundamentally in the 60s and 70s against police violence as the war abroad and at home intensified, not entirely unlike what we have here today, although now, of course, it's being managed much more artfully by the Bush administration. In case you want to call this show and you want to be a part of this whole process, and we're going to be talking for another 3 hours, we go till 1:30, you can give a call here on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM to 427-3772, which is 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. So, hey, we're looking to hear your calls, and if you're from out of the area, just pop 831 in front of the 427-3772, 831-427-3772. Give us a call. We stream on the net at www.microradio.net /FRSC. Again, I'll give you that in a moment. Again, grab a pencil. So if you intend to leave Santa Cruz, but you don't want to leave Free Radio Santa Cruz behind, taking a trip or moving out or who knows what you're doing, you can just grab a computer and pick us up free on the internet, www.microradio.net/FRSC. And I hope you do, because we need not just your ears, but we also need your voices out there. These are hard times, both locally, as the privatization and the gentrification intensifies, and of course, nationally, as the war against the poor continues, and the war against poor people across the world continues, under, of course, the guise of the war on drugs and the war on terrorism. So, again, I was talking about Jerry Henry. I'm going to read a little story that I wrote for the Street Shit Sheet, and it's kind of got the Street Shit Sheet style. You might enjoy it or you might not. Let me know. Jackin' Up Jerry is the name of the game for D.A. Jim Jack'em Up Johnson, chief misdemeanor prosecutor, whose embarrassed underlings are reportedly balking at yet another concocted case against Hard Road Jerry Henry, a bearded and bewizened street minister. Apparently under sharp pressure from Sheriff Mastodon Mark Tracy and eager underlings, Lieutenant Harassment Harkness and Sergeant Hate Crime Hemingway, Jack'em-up Jim Johnson, the chief misdemeanor prosecutor, has initiated and on the day of trial dropped the fifth fanciful fusillade against Jerry Henry. And of course, what all this rhetoric means is that prior to the time Jerry was jailed on a $100,000 bail and actually went to trial for 11 counts, he was arrested and released, arrested and released, arrested and released, again, to deter him from his ministerial work at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. And this was the fifth time this happened. I believe this was in 1999, in the spring or summer. I'm not quite clear, but because this rough draft is not dated, but I can try to locate it. The confidant and civil rights supporter of young folks who hang out near the Aptos Coffee Roasting Company at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center has been a prime target for armed heavyweight honchos like Deputy Hemingway, riding shotgun for social cleansing shopkeepers eager to seize the sidewalks. And I footnote that with this mention, as they did years ago with Santa Cruz's downtown ordinances, forbidding sitting near a shop, walking a dog on Pacific Avenue, riding a bike the wrong way, peacefully asking for spare change after dark, having an open container or of alcohol not connected to a bistro, putting up a political table near a sidewalk cafe, or, of course, sleeping or covering up with blankets after 11 p.m. And not all those that I've itemized actually are covered by the specific downtown ordinances. The downtown ordinances actually talk about panhandling, about setting up a table, and about locations of musicians and such on the mall. But the other laws mentioned are, in fact, all laws that the Santa Cruz City Council has passed to restrict the rights of poor people, street people, homeless people, you and me, downtown on the mall, again with the idea of creating a particular ambiance and giving the police the kind of discretionary power to make all kinds of choices which allow them to do things like remove select political tables that they don't like, as they did mine 2 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks ago when they arrested me and Zoe Einbinder for blocking the sidewalk near the New Leaf Market and the Sushi Now Alibaba's Cafe area. Now, of course, the place where we had set up our table is permanently blocked with tables and green railings. That's kind of ironic, but of course that's regarded as sanctioned blocking of the sidewalk. You see, that's different. Even though those tables are not involved in any kind of political free speech activity, they're involved in the much more important commercial activity, which involves eliminating free speech areas and assembly areas downtown. Continuing this article, which I term Clown Show in the Courtroom. Deputy Hemingway recently seized Jerry Henry's driver's license, only to have the DMV instantly reverse this heavy-handed holdup in an unprecedented one-day administrative hearing that reportedly set the dark side deputy trembling. On Monday, August 23rd, I think that's 1999, Henry, a disabled man with an anxiety condition aggravated relentlessly in the last 2 years by one police pot shot after another, one yet another in the seemingly endless train of empty but exhausting prosecution efforts. Commissioner Salazar dismissed the latest assault on Henry's peace and sanity, the charges of disturbing the peace with fighting words. And here's the footnote that explains that. "This nigger's tired, tired. When will he be let back into the coffee shop?" were the fatal phrases for which Henry spent hours in court and jail. Barred from Gottschalk's, the Aptos Roasting Company, and Rancho's Liquors by injunction or trespass threat for his outspoken advocacy outside the businesses, Henry used charged words to compare his status with those of civil rights workers like Rosa Parks, who protested the racist exclusion of African Americans from equal access to public facilities and accommodations in the 1950s. The nigger, quote-unquote, Henry was speaking of, he explained, was himself. Henry is himself Caucasian, though he's got quite a dark beard and quite a long one. A nearby black First Alarm security guard, Henry believes under Deputy Hemingway's instigation, then pressed charges. D.A. Johnson, initially willing to spare no expense to rid the Rancho Del Mar of Henry's rights for the wretched resources, apparently thought better of it and announced they have all barred Henry either through injunction or trespass warning. When Street Shit Sheet editor Bathrop's Pierre Robert asked Hemingway if he would be sympathetic to letting Henry back into the coffee roasting company to lighten up on the low-intensity war, Hemingway said no, suggesting that Henry could find other places to drink his coffee. Within the past 2 years, Henry has faced, well, this is the fifth trial abandoned after repeated acts of harassment from Hemingway, and or the crime of loud, persistent protest from his seat on the benches in front of the nearby Rancho Liquors. In retaliation for his advising youth of their rights in the face of a merchant deputy crackdown a few years ago, Henry has been four times charged with various pseudo-crimes, including trespass, interfering with the business, and most recently, fighting words. Again, all these charges were never even prosecuted, but they resulted in his being arrested, taken away, released, and so forth. Hemingway has been using an outdated and inappropriate restraining order to ban Henry from the Aptos Roasting Company. This was back in 99. In response, Henry, likening himself to civil rights fighter Back of the Bus No More, Rosa Parks, regularly intones, "This nigger's tired, tired of being banned." An African-American First Alarm security guard, again, I'm repeating myself here, in a harassment action masterminded by Hemingway, filed a complaint about Henry's racist language. As I mentioned in the footnote, Henry's trial for disturbing the peace was fighting words was called off at the last minute because the complaining African-American guard was not available to be flown in from Georgia. At press time, activist Richard Quigley charged Hemingway with continued harassment of Henry and was demanding the state police take a report which concerned harassment of Henry being banned from the roasting company through this outdated restraining order, counseling people they have a right to refuse instant obedience to the sheriff there, and so forth. And again, I'm reading you from a rough draft, so I apologize for some of the repetitions and grammatical fumblings, but you get the idea what how I viewed it at that time. And there have also been stories in the Aptos paper, the Mid-County Post. Here's a story by Jay Olson, an Aptos man who was charged with trespassing, breach of the peace, and being a nuisance, is scheduled to go to trial this month. This was the much larger trial of the 11 charges that we heard Jerry talk about. After 2 years of delays and controversies, Jerry Henry's had a long-running dispute with several merchants who own stores at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center in Aptos. He also has had run-ins with Rancho Del Mar security guards and the sheriff's deputies who patrol the area. He is accused of shouting obscenities, creating many disturbances, and has been the subject of numerous complaints to the district attorney's office. But you must note that not one disturbing the peace has been upheld. So he couldn't have been disturbing too much peace. The only thing he's been so far convicted of that stood up on appeal has been this concocted law about trespass with intent to interfere with a business where you are outside the business on the sidewalk or even in the parking lot. I think he was actually sitting on his car when this latest arrest happened several years ago, for which he's been appealing. He also, according to Jay Olson, again continuing in the Mid-County Post, has had run-ins with Rancho Del Mar security guards and sheriff's deputies, creating many disturbances, and has been the subject of numerous complaints to the district attorney's office. Henry says that if area law enforcement agencies are unfairly targeting him, He claims that the case against him is more of a political issue than a public safety concern. He has long been involved in helping to feed destitute elderly people in the area. In fact, Henry still brings food to Yuppie Planter area because for there are certainly young people who are still there 4 days after that green fence has gone up. And he worked with Feed the People when Sean Alimi and other activists were involved in that effort downtown to daily feed people, much to the consternation of the merchants and local cafe people. Henry has long been involved in helping to feed destitute elderly people in the area and has befriended and counseled several of the young people that hang out at a cafe in the shopping center. I've done nothing but mind my own business, he said. They should just leave me alone. Henry was offered a plea bargain but turned it down. The deal would have created a permanent restraining order barring him from the shopping center in exchange for dropping all the charges. The judge presiding over the case has expressed disbelief that Henry did not take the deal and instead has allowed the case to continue to drag on. Actually, Henry won because now he's only barred from half the shopping center and those charges are getting thrown out as they get appealed. And Henry has expressed a great determination to follow the legal system up the ladder, which I commend him for in one sense, and yet which I feel rather sympathetic and gloomy about in another, because I don't see a lot of hope at the top of these legal ladders. But, you know, one can always be surprised. Some of the decisions of the Rehnquist Court have been supportive of free speech in strange ways, but we'll talk about that another time. It is a matter of principle, said Henry. They can't kick me out of there. That place is the nearest thing to a town square that Aptos has, and it is an important part of my life. George Kovacevic is the district attorney's office is the second prosecutor to handle the case. He is the second in command of the DA's office. He says he has 40 witnesses lined up to testify against Henry. We've had an extremely large number of complaints against Henry over a long period of time, said Kovacevic. He has allegedly accosted people. He yells loudly and incoherently. He has cussed people and deals with store employees in a very forceful manner. Of course, I don't know if that's... we want to compare that with the kind of forceful manner the deputies and the DA's office have used in constantly arresting Henry and bringing him into court, dropping charges, and then I guess most recently wasting tens of thousands of dollars of the county's money on this kind of stuff. A list of complaints. According to Kovacevic, the list of complaints against Henry is long and includes the occasion when he purchased a pair of shoes with a credit card because he didn't have any cash on him. When he left, he found some cash, returned to the store, and demanded that the item be taken off his card so he could pay cash. According to the complaint, when the store employee said she couldn't do that, Henry got angry and started yelling at her, said Kovacevic. She became frightened and said she was literally cowering behind the counter. Now, I note Olson the writer of the story, does not get Henry's point of view on this story. Another complaint received by the office, according to Jay Olson, concerning Henry was from another woman who worked at one of the stores in the complex. The woman, who is part Native American, said Henry called her a half-breed, but said she is a good half-breed because she speaks English. Henry does have his supporters in the area. They note that he has worked tirelessly in his efforts to shuttle food to elderly people who have little money and no car. They also say his charitable activities are stymied by what they term as continual harassment by security guards and deputies. And one of these occasions, actually, which I don't recall if I witnessed it personally or interviewed several people who did, but there's an area where the sheriff's deputies sort of park their cars. When Henry pulled up with some food and was letting out food, they ticketed him. Whereas when friends of the sheriff's deputies pulled up and were essentially allowed to do the same thing, and there was sort of essentially differential treatment. Becky Johnson is part of a homeless advocacy group called Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. She says that in her opinion, the whole problem started when the security guards that patrol the complex tried to get some of the young teens who congregated around the Aptos Coffee Roasting Company to find somewhere else to hang out. Does this sound familiar? Jerry had always been there for the kids, she said. He would listen and give good advice to these street kids cared about. When the security guards started to hassle them, he told them that they have rights and they didn't have to take that kind of harassment. He told them specifically what their legal rights were in the situation, and they used that information. That really upset the whole apple cart. Henry's former attorney, Kate Wells, who we hope to have on the air today, by the way, says that the case has become far too political. You tell me why the second in command of the DA's office is handling a trespass case. That's George Kovacevic. Jerry has helped get several kids off of heroin. He is the kind of influence we want our kids to be around. They can't just run him off the property just because his appearance doesn't fit in with the Aptos crowd. Wells had 64 witnesses prepared to testify on Henry's behalf 2 years ago, but the charges were dropped just before trial. The whole thing was to get him to take a plea, she said. An employee of the cafe who said she didn't want to be identified said she had seen Henry around for years. He is harmless. I've never seen him do anything disruptive, she said. The kids like him. He's one of the only people that actually pays attention to them. Several of the young people at the cafe said they knew Henry, that he was both a counselor and a friend. One said Henry has helped feed his family on several occasions when his family has been without a home. Now, of course, Henry is barred from that whole area, and presumably Gottschalk's and the Roasting Company are much happier. However, Kovacevic says, that's the, again, the DA who pursued him, formerly a judge for a brief period of time, and also now a city attorney who is pursuing me for blocking the sidewalk with a table in front of the New Leaf Market on the complaint that continues against me. Kovacevic said that the large number of complaints lodged with the office against Henry has compelled him to act. We got 3 complaints about him in 1 week last October, and I said that was enough. That is when I started to prepare to take this to trial, said Kovacevic. One complaint said he was yelling obscenities at random customers. We can't have that. People should be able to shop and conduct their business in peace. This case is set to go to trial June 15th, 2000. And it did. And then there's another story on the same situation, which we're going to be reading. Looks like Mel Mason was not able to call in. I think what I'm going to do, though, well, I think I'll read a little bit more of this, because I think we want to, if we're going to cover it, let's give it a little depth, although I don't know if these newspapers necessarily are going to give it the depth that we need, but at least we'll get some of the establishment perspective, and you'll get some of mine, because I've been interviewing Henry and the people out there for a while. This is a story from the November 21st Pajaronian, 1997. This was, again, 3 years earlier. Judge issues restraining order against alleged troublemakers by Dick Little. Officials from the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center in Apto spent a lot of time running between courtrooms Thursday in Santa Cruz. After all the rhetoric is cleared, 2 different judges issued 2 separate restraining orders preventing 2 men from getting near the area between Gottschalk's department store and the Safeway store in the middle of the center. Each case involved allegations of harassment on the part of 2 people, Richard Quigley and Jerry Henry. Each man was told to stay away from specified areas of the center. Attorneys from both sides agreed the 2 men could not be barred from the full center because previous court decisions have declared that parking and walking areas of shopping centers are like town squares and are not private property. Superior Court Judge Sam Stevens attempted to work out a program with Henry that would keep him away from Dan Eberhart, the manager of the Aptos Coffee Roasting Company, without having a full hearing. At the end of a half-hour conference in the judge's chambers, Henry left the court and returned a short time later saying he wanted a hearing. Much of the testimony came from young people who supported Henry. While the words were different, the message was basically the same, that Henry was their friend. One boy said he was a father figure. Henry said he's been a street minister for 20 years. The judge said at the end of the hearing, Henry could not go within 20 yards of the Aptos Coffee Roasting Company, which in effect bans him from the neighboring liquor store as well. Judge Stevens is scheduled to issue his order today, and the parties could be called back next Wednesday if Eberhard and his attorneys feel they need more distance between Henry and the store. Never mind, listeners, this is about 5 years old, this story. Henry was aided by Santa Cruz attorney Kate Wells, who handles a number of homeless cases in Santa Cruz. She requested Stevens order payment for her time under the Americans for Disabilities Act since Henry suffers from mental problems. The judge said he could not honor the request, but if Henry violates the restraining order, he will be arrested on a misdemeanor charge and he could then legally obtain counsel with the county paying the bill. Since the case involved a civil trial, attorney's fees were not awarded. They can only be awarded to individuals in a criminal proceeding when they're indigent. Even though she was working pro bono without pay, Wells continued to advise Henry during the process. Meanwhile, visiting Judge Gerald Reagan in a nearby courtroom also agreed to issue a restraining order against Richard Quigley, and that's a whole different, well, it's actually a related story. Interesting stuff. Nuisance complaints at Aptos Shopping Center may result in jail time. This is a Jay Olson follow-up on the 2000 trial that I mentioned a little bit earlier, the one that actually has his cases being appealed in the higher court. A local man faces 2 years in jail after being convicted of 2 counts of disturbing the peace and 2 counts of interfering with a business. The disturbing the peace charges, as I've mentioned, have been thrown out. Jerry Henry says the accusations against him and that resulted in the charges are false, and his attorney is in the process of requesting a directed verdict, which could overturn the jury's decision. Trial resulted from years of haggling between Henry and the merchants of the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center in Aptos. Merchants and several shoppers have accused Henry of disruptive behavior, including shouting obscenities at shoppers and intimidating shopping center employees, and so forth. Well, what do you think about this? Give me a call, 427-3772, and I will entertain your thoughts.
night. Well, downtown plays Russian roulette with you, that's right. I said downtown when you're brown on a Friday night plays Russian roulette with you, but not with a second-hand Saturday night special, nah.
And now what we're going to hear is a brief recorded message from Art Dudley, who is was the attorney who took Jerry Henry's case on appeal, and he called back in. He was going to give us a brief report on how the appeal went. It's a little technical, but here's the actual lawyer on the case giving us a brief update from about a week and a half ago.
Hey, Robert, Art Dudley. Just to let you know, the Court of Appeal, not the Court of Appeal, the Superior Court Appellate Division affirmed the 602 conviction in the 602.1 conviction, which one, the 602.1 is the, that's the one interfering with the business premises, and the 602 subdivision J was the entry of, on land for interference with business, and reversed the 415, the loud and unreasonable noise, two convictions for errors in the jury instructions. So just thought you'd like to know, and also we'll proceed on with the various steps to take up further to higher courts the affirmance of the two convictions concerning the 602 .1 and the 602J, and see you around the courthouse. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
And that was Attorney Art Dudley, public defender for Jerry Henry, giving you the legal eagle side of it. We'll learn more whether his case has been certified for appeal and whether the DA is going to retry the two charges that were reversed. And we have an incoming call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, Robert. John.
Hey, John.
Coalition for Freedom of Man and All Political Prisoners. It's interesting, the story about Jerry Henry there. I hope he does eventually get all of his charges dismissed. But I kind of wanted to get people an update on the situation that happened with me a couple shows ago, where I was talking about this guy at the farmer's market and stuff. Basically, the guy's name is Dave, but he did actually come up to me a few days after the farmer's market incident. And
John, before you do, let me remind our listeners that we're talking about an incident that where you were getting petitions or giving out literature for Mumia Abu-Jamal to free him, and he came up and struck this literature out of your hand and then came back, and apparently you were concerned that there were some threats made, perhaps at a distance, but you know, that concerned you, and they had some sort of weapon. And was he eventually arrested for that? Or
Basically what happened was, I thought it was kind of unfortunate the way it was handled at the time, because I would have liked to have seen him taken into custody, actually, at that particular point. But what happened was the officer investigating came up to the scene of this brand and investigated to see if anyone wanted to file charges. He was detained. Dave was detained on the mall at that point. When no one actually came through to file specific charges, they let him go. And specifically advised me that would happen. Anyway,
and you actually talked to Brandt a few days later and tried to get him to file charges, and he wouldn't do so, right?
Well, I wanted to at least file a complaint, you know, make an official record of it, and he wouldn't take it down. But
a police officer refused to take a record of a complaint that you made, is that right?
Yeah.
Officer Brandt.
Right. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I'm thinking about just not worrying about it because of the following reason. And that is because Dave did run into me on Sunday, you know, the Sunday after the farmer's market, and, you know, basically apologized for having basically terrorized me, and, you know, explained a little bit about his reasoning, and, you know, it wasn't entirely satisfactory, his explanation, but, you know, basically I took it at face value. And then recently at our Mumia protest on Saturday, he actually came to me and was kind of looked like he wanted to be part of the rally or something, and trying to be friendly and stuff. So
yeah, he was providing the dancing entertainment, as I remember.
He was just basically there to, you know, again apologize and provide a little bit of support. So, you know, he's not, I don't know whether you should keep an eye on this guy or what, but basically as far as I'm concerned,
my concern is not David. You know, I mean, I find him occasionally obnoxious, and he's, you know, that's, he has personality problems as far as I'm concerned, but that's not relevant. What's relevant to me is the police and how they're treating this, and the differential manner in which they're proceeding. I mean, you know, a complaint of someone knocking stuff out of your hand, if you did that to a merchant, you'd be in jail. You know, I mean, there would be no question. Yeah. They wouldn't even take, Brandt wouldn't even take a complaint against him from you. I mean, that is outrageous. And the same process, of course, happened with me and the hosts when I tried to complain about their music. The complaint finally was taken by Officer Leon, but or was it Officer Bailey, one of the two, but it was dismissed without even going forward. Actually, and I've examined the code section about that. It's interesting. You know, I mean, there's a series of choices are being made which I think reflect real prejudice and real bias and, that aren't good.
At least let people know that there isn't really this madman running around anymore that's
no.
Not really that crazy.
You have the madmen that are running around are very well controlled, and they have badges and guns and radios, and they aren't, their insanity is actually very well regulated, but I don't know if that should make us feel any better, you know. I mean, The kind of you know, it's not, I guess it's not insanity in the sense that it's terribly unpredictable, but I think there is such a power by the police to make these kinds of individual choices that we should all be on notice that if police officers are stopping you, get as many witnesses as you can to observe what's going on, because you may need them later. Did you have other things you wanted to announce?
Or? Yeah, I wanted to announce we have a follow-up to our protest about freeing Mumia Abu-Jamal, Leonard Peltier, and all political prisoners. There's a forum which is going to, one of the key speakers is going to be Jeff Mackler. He's going to be at the Vets Hall Tuesday, February 26th, 7 to 9 p.m., room 22. And we are requesting donations of $5 to $10, but no one's going to be turned away. There'll be also Evelyn Schoenfeld will be there, Don Dolan, Carlos Padilla, and Greg Uba will also be speaking. So we'll have an update on Mumia's case and an update on...
That'll be at 7 o'clock in 2 days?
Yeah, Tuesday, February 26th.
At the Veterans Hall.
Yeah, and then also we have the Progressive Federation. This is all part of the Progressive Federation Forums. The Progressive Federation Forums in the month of March include on March 5th, Confronting Globalization and War. The 12th will be The Fate of Our World and the Future is Our Choice. That'll be a special tribute to Evelyn Schoenfeld, who's an 86-year-old activist. And she also wanted to make that a benefit for Mumia Abu-Jamal as well. And then, let's see, the 19th will be Confronting Our Isms, Racism, Classism, Gender Discrimination by Greg Uba. And then the 26th will be The Art of Nonviolence for Social Change. Mm-hmm. All these are happening Tuesday nights at 7 to 9 p.m. at the Vets Hall, 846 French Street.
In room 22.
Yeah, the Progressive Federation is sharing the voicemail with the Coalition right now. It's 425-4467. If you need more information, leave your phone number there and we'll get back to you or something.
Well,
that's all the announcements that I have for now.
Well, I appreciate the update there, John.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. And I hope you appreciate it, too. If you hear any numbers on the show that you want and you miss, and you don't want to call in, and sometimes even I miss them, give a call to the Huff line afterward. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Easy to remember, 423-HUFF, 423-H-U-F-F, or 423-4833. I check that line a couple times a day, ever eager to hear messages, but and, you know, I will reply. What we're going to do now is we're going to try to catch at home one of the few attorneys who actually sometimes helps out folks who are indigent. And she's kind of herself having financial problems now. That's Attorney Kate Wells. She's been pursuing a lot of civil cases.
Hey there, Free Radio Santa Cruz calling in for Attorney Kate Wells.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I hope we're not catching in the middle of some sports event.
No.
Oh, that's good.
I'm aware.
Oh, that's good. I know we often catch you with your, watching the television.
Well.
Not on this occasion, apparently.
No.
We just did a discussion and actually a brief interview with Jerry Henry. You know him, the street minister from Rancho Del Mar.
He's a very good friend, yes.
Who used to be actually at Rancho Del Mar, but now he's barred from half of it.
Uh-huh.
But apparently had 2 out of 4 charges dismissed. I thought it was 1 out of 4, but apparently it's 2 out of 4.
2 out of 4, yeah.
And I wondered if you wanted to, you were at that appeals hearing. I saw you there.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't there as attorney. You were there as a friend and an interested a legal observer.
Yes.
Want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I don't know how much Jerry told you, so I don't want to
go over the same ground. Well, let me tell you briefly.
No.
He did say that he told what he talked about the charges, talked about the fact that you know, he didn't go into the origins of the law that he was convicted under and that has still, you know, been upheld. I've read a couple of articles from the Mid-County Post about Jerry Henry's, you know, struggle with Rancho Del Mar businesses and the sheriff's deputies and George Kovacevic and so forth. But I will cut you